Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mungano, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, and how are you, our dear listeners that are following this program? We are greeting you in the name of Jesus, and how are you doing?
I am well, thank you very much, Mfundis. I trust you too are well.
Very well, thank you.
Lovely, lovely. We're doing chapter 1 of the book of Leviticus today, right, Mfundis?
Yes. We are opening the new book.
Indeed.
And the chapter of Leviticus. Yes.
Absolutely. It's a very short chapter, but it's power-packed. I'm looking forward to engaging you. Let me read it first, and then you give us your one-minute comment, and then get into the Q&A. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. From the NIV, it reads, yes. The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. He said, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when anyone among you brings an offering to the Lord, bring as your offering an animal from either the herd or the flock. If the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, you are to offer a male without defect. You must present it at the entrance to the tent of meeting so that it will be acceptable to the Lord. You are to lay your hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on your behalf to make atonement for you. You are to slaughter the young bull before the Lord, and then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and splash it against the sides of the altar at the entrance to the tent of meeting. You are to skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, are to put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. Then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the pieces, including the head and the feet, on the wood that is burning on the altar. You are to wash the internal organs and the legs with water, and the priest is to burn all of it on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, and an aroma pleasing to the Lord. If the offering is a burnt offering from the flock, from either the sheep or the goats, you are to offer a male without defect. You are to slaughter it at the north side of the altar before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall splash its blood against the sides of the altar. You are to cut it into pieces, and the priests shall arrange them, including the head and the feet, beg your pardon, and the fat, on the wood that is burning on the altar. You are to wash the internal organs and the legs with water, and the priests, it is to bring all of them, and burn them on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. If the offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, you are to offer a dove or a young pigeon. The priest shall bring it to the altar. Wring off the head and burn it on the altar. Its blood shall be drained out on the side of the altar. He is to remove the crop and the feathers and throw them down east of the altar where the ashes are. He shall tear it open by the wings, not dividing it completely. And then the priest shall burn it on the wood that is burning on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Your comments on this?
Wow, this is very, very interesting. As we are opening actually the book of Leviticus, some scholars, they say this is a blood book. Yeah, because we see the shedding of blood of innocent animals.
Absolutely.
For the atonement of the sins of man.
Yes.
Yes. So now, just the preamble and the opening of the book itself, where God is always calling Moses from the tabernacle. Yesterday, we just looked at the erection of the tabernacle and everything put in place, the altar and the incense and everything arranged properly in the tabernacle. But as we come to the book of Leviticus, we are now seeing the activities, performances of the sacrifices. There are now instructions and guidelines on what to do and how to do it. It's very important, Mr. Moderator, to pay attention on the guidelines, following the instructions. You and I did exams at one point where you are encouraged to follow the instructions. If you are to pass the exam, you need to follow the instructions and read to understand the instructions. No. So now what we are seeing here is the instructions that are given about the sacrificial system, how it has to operate. Now, it is very important that God actually doesn't leave this to chance, but he has to instruct the guidelines to Moses, because this is a spiritual significance and a symbol of redemption that does not need to be altered, that does not need to be compromised, that does not need to, you know, to have any mistake. Yeah, so God, why he gives this provision is made that men should not indulge their own fancies, nor become vain in their imaginations and inventions about their sacrifices, lest while they pretend to honor God, they should really dishonor him and do that which was unworthy of him. So everything, therefore, is directed to be done with due decorum by a certain rule, so as that the sacrifice might be most significant, both of the great sacrifice of atonement, which Christ was to offer in the fullness of time, and of the spiritual sacrifice of acknowledgement, which believers should offer daily. So that is very important, because it is pointing somewhere to Jesus Christ, who is the true sacrifice for an atonement of sin of humanity. And so they did not need to use their own imagination or to use their own inventions so as to how to go about the sacrificial system. No wonder God has to be very specific and give specific directions and guidelines about this. Now, the tabernacle was set up to be a place of communion between God and Israel. There, where they performed their services to God, God revealed his will to them. So we see the revelation of God's will here from the sanctuary, from the tabernacle. Thus, by the word and by prayer, we now have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Because, you know, the significance of this tabernacle is the communion, the fellowship, okay, the connection, okay, between humanity and divinity.
Okay.
You have to understand that these instructions are given on Mount Sinai after the children of Israel have journeyed from the land of bondage, and there where they had intercourse with the idol worshippers for a long time.
Hey, that's a very big phrase there from Puneet. I'm sure you can. Do you mean intercourse with idols?
I mean the interaction. The intercourse is just the interaction.
Okay.
It's a very sensitive
word. Very, very sensitive word of Buddhist. All right, let's get into the Buddhist. I don't want us to run out of time. I'm worried about what we're getting here. It seems to be well, you're going to connect it for us, because it seems like there's a disconnect here. Chapter 1 says, Lord called to Moses to speak to him from the tent of meeting. That's verse 1, right?
Yes.
But yesterday, we spoke to the nation, and we said, the very, very last verses there of the book, verse 35, Exodus chapter 40, verse 35 says, Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. How is it that now God is talking to a man he had forbidden from going? No more is Moses able to enter the tent of meeting, but the first chapter, the very first verse says, the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, the one that Moses could not enter. How does that work? Just clarify that one for me, Funis.
Yes, that is very interesting. For sure, when the cloud descended on the tabernacle there, it was dazzling and terrible. The terrible majesty of God was right there. Now, you have to understand that Moses had to wait for a moment, because when this cloud had just descended upon there, the glory of God was just too much that he could not enter. Or perhaps he could only stand by the door and hear the voice of God.
Yeah, but verse 1 says he was called in the very same place he was no longer able to do. Remember, throughout this time, he was able to enter the tent, right? That's how he spoke to God. But now, after the consecration and the installment of the priests, the sons of Aaron, and the high priest, Aaron himself, Moses was no longer allowed to go in there. It was now the role of the priest and the high priest. That's what Exodus chapter 40 tells us. But verse 1 of Leviticus seems to tell us something totally different. Kindly explain that, Mbunis.
Yes. This one, chapter 1 actually says, it's the Lord actually calling Moses.
Yes.
The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him. So he's not coming in, but he's calling to Moses, who is not inside.
Okay.
Perhaps he is standing by the door, and the voice of God is calling to him and is able to listen.
Okay. So he was standing outside the door.
He's not going inside to perform the sacrifices.
Right.
But he's hearing the voice of the Lord while standing by the door.
Right.
I remember he's standing by the door and getting the word of God and instructions from there.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yes. Okay. I think that one is clear.
Okay. I'm not going to dispute it. Thank you very much. So God then gives instructions, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when anyone, here's the issue now, anyone.
Yes.
So it's not the priest.
Anyone.
It's not the high priest.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone
mm-hmm.
brings an offering to the Lord. Bring as your offering an animal from either the herd or the flock. If the offering is burnt, the burnt offering from the herd, who is you, Mfundis?
The you is the one who have who is guilty.
Yes. Yes.
He is the one who brings the lamb.
The one who's
bringing the goat.
Now, it's saying here,
he's bringing.
You are to offer a meal. So, which means the slaughtering is not done by the priest. It's done by you.
It's not done by the priest. It's done by you.
Yeah. You are to offer a male without defect. You
and me.
Yeah. You must present it at the entrance to the tent of meeting.
Yes.
So that it will be accepted to the Lord. You are to lay your hand on the head. So the sinner kills the animal. The sinner presents it. The sinner lays his hand on the head of the animal, of the burnt offering.
Yes.
And it will be accepted on your behalf to make atonement for you. You, the sinner, are to slaughter the young bull before the Lord. And then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring their blood and splash it against the sides. So you are killing the animal of the altar at the entrance to the tent of meeting. You are to skin the burnt offerings. What are you using for this? Are you using sanctuary utensils to kill? Are you using the knife from the sanctuary? I mean, you're an ordinary sinner. Use touching holy things. You are to skin the burnt offering. So you're sitting there inside the altar, at the tent, at the entrance. What's happening? Where I thought it was only the priest and the high priest that are supposed to go inside the sanctuary. Now it seems that sinners now go in and they are cutting and working inside. Where is this happening? Just clarify that, Mfundisi.
Oh, yeah. So actually, when you look at the arrangement of the altar, because we're talking about the burnt altar here, the burnt offering at the altar, it was before the door to the tabernacle, to the sanctuary. So it is a bit outside, but within the courtyard. Actually, it's in the courtyard. Now, this is where now a sinner comes in the courtyard, but not right inside, not inside the tabernacle, but in the courtyard, there where he brings the lamb or the goat and for an atonement. And so it has also, we have to understand, how does the sinner perform this service of killing the animal?
No. So just clarify this for me. Are you saying this whole ritual of killing the animal is not happening in inside the sanctuary? It's happening outside.
Not inside. If we read it again, okay, if his offering is a burnt sacrifice, you know, the burnt sacrifice is outside, not inside, of the head, let him
inside of outside of what, Mpunis? Okay. Outside the sanctuary.
Outside the sanctuary.
In the courtyard.
In the courtyard.
All right. So we have the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Tabernacle
first
is.
We have got the courtyard.
No. Moving outside, Mpunis. I just need to move that.
Moving outside, going inside, yes.
No. From inside out. So there's the Holy of Holies, and then outside the Holy of Holies, there is the various furniture. Where there is water, there is the altar.
That the water is outside.
Okay. That's exactly what
from
I would
the have. Holy of Holies, from the Holy of Holies, since we are saying we are moving from inside to outside.
Right.
So we are moving from the holiest place.
Right.
To the holy place.
Right.
And from the holy place, we are coming to a lava where there is a dish of water there at the door, at the entrance of the door.
So this dish of
that's
water.
A basin, the dish of water.
Yeah.
Then from the dish of water there, we are coming outside. We are coming to the altar of sacrifice, the burnt sacrifice altar there. So that is now in the courtyard. The lava or the basin or the dish of water and also the altar of sacrifice. They are outside there. So this is where now the killing
just hold on. Just hold on for Mfundis. Come read with me, Mfundis, from Book of Exodus chapter 40.
We are going back.
Yes, Mfundis. Exodus chapter 40, verse 30.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 30 says, he placed the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it for washing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's where, Mfundis?
That is between the tabernacle and the altar.
That's what I'm trying
that
to establish.
Is outside.
The altar. Yes, the altar. Are you saying the altar is not inside? It's not in the holy.
It's not inside.
It's in the court.
It's outside. It's in the outer court.
Okay.
Yes. So now it's very
so
clear.
Here's what is bothering me, Mfundis. Here's what is bothering me, Mfundis. Verse 31 then says, and Moses and Aaron and his sons used it to wash their hands and feet. They washed whenever they enter the tent of meeting or approach the altar as the Lord commanded Moses.
Yes. Okay, that is Aaron and the sons would wash their hands.
So the tent of meeting from this inside is an enclosed area. Verse 24 says he placed a lampstand in the tent of meeting. So where there's a tent of meeting, there is also this this basin of water. Where there is a lampstand, there is also this basin of water.
Oh no. There we miss it because they said whenever they went into the tabernacle.
No, I'm talking about the placement, Mfundis. I'm talking about the placement. Look at verse 24 of Exodus. Exodus chapter 40, verse 24 says, he placed the lampstand in the tent of meeting opposite the table on the south side of the tabernacle.
Yes, you're right.
And set up the lamps before the Lord as the Lord commanded him. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Moses placed the gold altar in the tent. So the altar is where Mfundisi, it's in the tent. It's not in the outer court.
The gold altar in the tabernacle of meeting in front of the veil. Yes, now you are right.
So verse 26 says Moses placed the gold altar in the tent, not outside, in the tent of meeting.
Yes, I hear you.
In front of the curtain. And burned fragrant incense on it as the Lord commanded him. He put a curtain at the entrance to the tabernacle. He set the altar of burnt offering near the entrance to the tabernacle. Now,
there are two altars there. There are two altars. There is an altar of incense, which is inside near the veil.
Okay.
That is the altar of incense. Okay, fragrance, okay, where, you know, it was stinking inside there. So we needed to burn the fragrances or the incenses, so to sweeten, you know, not just to put the aroma and removing the stinking of blood there.
So are you able to share with us the verse that you're referring to? Just like I'm doing, my understanding is based on the verses that I'm sharing with you. Are you able to share with us the verses that you're referring to that plot the various furniture?
It's just from where you are reading to say he burned sweet incense on it. Okay.
What I'm asking, Vanessa, is here we're talking about the verse that says it was in the tent, not outside.
Yes, that is the same chapter and of Exodus 40 that you are reading. Okay, verse 25, okay, and 26. That is a gold altar. This is not a burnt offering. This one is the gold altar for sweet incense.
Sorry. How many altars were in this?
There are two.
All right. Can you point us to the second one? Because I only see one here. Could you point us to the second one? Where is the second one?
The second one is where we find the one we find in Leviticus chapter 1.
There is no more furniture instructed in the book of Leviticus. We get all the instructions of furnishings in the book of Exodus. There is no instruction in Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 1, there is no instruction of additional furniture. There is no furniture added in chapter 1.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the burnt offering altar is here, verse 29. Exodus chapter 20, verse 29 says, and he put the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle, of the tent of meeting.
Yes.
That is now before. This is another altar. There is this altar before and the altar
same positioning,
inside.
But it's the same altar.
It's not. This one is a burnt offering altar. Then there's the altar of incense.
All right.
Which is right near the veil of the tabernacle inside.
Okay. Just point us to the altar of incense then, Mfundisi.
The altar of incense is found in verse 26.
Right.
The God altar.
Chapter. Mfundisi.
Chapter 40 of Exodus. Chapter 40, verse 26 is where we find the altar of incense. Okay, and then verse 29.
Sorry. Let's read it. So he's saying it's Exodus chapter 40, verse 26.
Verse 26, yes.
All right. So Moses placed the gold altar in the tent of meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So the gold altar is what?
Incense, yes.
No. I'm asking, is the gold altar the altar of incense?
Exactly.
All right. And then the other altar?
The other altar is the burnt offering altar.
All right.
Which is outside the tent before the door to the main entrance of
the
tent.
Take us to that verse. Where is that verse?
That is verse 29.
Verse 29.
Chapter 40, verse 29.
He set the altar of burnt offering near the entrance to the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is near. Now, near is that is a proximity, a nearness, not inside. That is before the door to the main entrance.
Okay.
So that's where we find the altar of burnt offering. This is where now the sinner is not getting inside, is outside in the outer court. Yes, that's where we find this sacrifice. No wonder Because this sacrifice actually is a symbolism of the death of Jesus Christ.
Nah, I don't want us to go there, Mpunis. I don't want us to go there. I just want us to understand.
Let's remain there.
Yeah, let's just understand what's happening in chapter one here. Okay. So then you're saying this whole thing is happening outside in the altar of burnt offering.
Burnt offering, yes.
All right. And then you're saying if the offering is a... Okay, just clarify the issue of the herd and the flock.
The herd and the flock. It's very interesting because there were people who are rich and those who are poor. I think that's what we have seen.
Right.
Where the categories of the offerings differ. There's one who has got the best heads of cattle, okay, and he gets the best from the head. All right. And then also the poor would actually take a turtle dove or pigeon, okay, to present there. That means this salvation covers all.
No. So what you're saying, Funisi, is the herd is from the cattle and flock is from the goats or sheep. Is that what the pastor is saying?
You are talking about the one and the same thing. When you're talking about the herd and the flock, it's almost the one and the same thing.
No. When we read throughout Mfunis, there were distinctions here. From verse 3, we're told about what's happening in the herd. Verse 10 tells us what's happening in the flock. And then verse 14 tells us what's happening with the birds. Let me read it. Verse 3. Uh-huh. And God clarifies this in verse 2. Verse 2 says, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when anyone among you brings an offering to the Lord, bring your offering an animal from either the herd or the flock." So according to verse 2, they are not the same thing. And then verse 3 then says, if the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, blah, 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 blah. These are instructions.
Exactly.
And then verse 10
the
says,
head is from the... Then the head is from the kettle. That is the head from the kettle. That means there are those who could offer the bulls. Okay, the bull was also one of the offerings to be offered there.
Right.
Depending on this person who has who is rich.
Right.
And he has a head of kettle. And he is offering the best to the Lord of his kettle. And then the flock.
Yeah.
We are talking about the sheep and the goats. Okay, this is also getting from the best of his flock and giving to the Lord as an offering.
Right.
But if I wanted to go further, I would want to say something like, why giving the best? Because if you read there from the same Leviticus, is that you give the offering without defect, without blemish. Why is it so? Because it's pointing to Jesus, the Lamb of God, without blemish. And so the one who is offering must give the best that represents Christ without any spot, without any blemish.
Okay.
And further, we can say that the offerings that we give, really, we must give the best out of what God has blessed us with. Because all these flock and the heads of animals, it is because God has blessed the children of Israel.
I hear you. I want to talk about that verse 14, Funis, that bothered me. Because while we are talking about what is going to happen to the cattle and the sheep and the goats, there's some brutality, some cruelty there that almost seems like witchcraft. You know, when you look at a television and they show documentaries about how witches do their things, it really shocked me when I was reading it. Verse 14 says, "If the offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, you are to offer a dove or a young pigeon. The priest shall bring it to the altar. Ring off the head." You strangle and break the head of it. Yay! It looks like witchcraft, Mpunis. I don't know. You're ringing off birds. I saw a documentary, Mpunis, that looks exactly like this. People were taking chickens and they wring their necks and they put the blood of the chicken on another chicken. It scared me. Just clarify that. What's going on? What's with the wringing of the neck now? Why wring the head and burn it? And then it goes on to say, you must tear it apart. He is to remove the crop and the feathers. Tear it apart without killing it completely. He shall tear it open. Not cut it. No. With his hands. Verse 17 says, he shall tear it open by the wings. Not dividing open. Just clarify that. Why? Why so much brutality now? Animal cruelty. What is this nonsense?
Yeah. Actually, according to, I was just going through some documents to say there is, you can be arrested actually once you are you cause a lot of violence on animals.
Yes.
And so forth. There is a law in Zambia where that protects animals.
Yeah, even here in South Africa, we have
even
those
wildlife
laws.
And
yes. But so God seems to want some brutality really, to happen. This yes, go ahead and for this.
Yes, what we see here, for sure, it is very horrific. It is not something that you can love to see, because this is actually why God was allowing all this kind of brutality towards animals that are innocent. You know, remember, these are animals that have not committed any crime. They have not committed any sin, except that it's man who is a culprit here. Now, this is also shows us how much we should hate sin, that sin is not friendly. Sin is terrible. Now, when you see all this thing that is done to innocent animals, God wants us to see the evil of sin, that we should actually look at sin with horrible eyes, with terrific eyes, to say, just the way you are saying, to see blood and, you know, tearing of this animal, cutting it in pieces. I, for one, I can tell you, I can't manage to kill a chicken. I depend on good Samaritans. If I want to eat chicken...
How do you eat meat and you can't prepare it in Buddhism?
I call for a good Samaritan. It's not easy.
You send other people to do your dirty work in Buddhism. Yes, go ahead and put this close.
It is terrible. It's terrible. I can tell you it's terrible.
Yes.
Just killing something is not easy.
Yes.
And so we can also, from that point, the book of Leviticus, much as we dread looking at blood and the killing, the brutality of it, that's how much we should exercise our abhorrence to sin.
Yeah.
Okay. Our hatred towards sin. We should not like it.
Yeah.
Yes, we should not like it, because apart from just killing the blood of animals, we see the innocent blood of Jesus Christ being shed and being brutalized, treated like a criminal, an innocent lamb of God. That should actually help us to look at the sin with a different attitude and mindset.
Got it. Mpunis, thank you very much for your time and your insights. It's always eye-opening to have these conversations. For me, as a student of the Bible, I always look forward to this kind of conversation, because I get to have my questions answered. Thank you very much, Mpunis. See you on Friday.
God bless. God bless you. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mpunis.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.